Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the podcast today. Before we jump in, I would like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Those machines are sturdy. They will not break down. They were like my old Explorer. They would run. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's your one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's unlike anything out there. You know, you can join all these other courses, but I'm guarantee you don't get their cell phone number. You don't get one-on-one calls. You don't get, you know, hey, Tuesday, I need to call with you. That's what makes teachhoops.com different. We have everything you need to become a better basketball coach. Doesn't matter if you're youth, doesn't matter if you're high school, doesn't matter if you're college. We're here to help. We're here to mentor you through this great journey we call coaching. All right, let's head off to the podcast. I am super excited to have Coach Jennings here and have her talk about her first year of coaching and kind of her basketball journey. So Coach Jennings, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to have you introduce yourself and then just kind of tell the audience a little bit about your basketball journey, both hopefully as a player and as a coach. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Coach Jennings.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much for the intro. As Steve said, my name is Special Jennings. I am the head basketball coach at Montverde Academy. Last year was my first season at Montverde Academy, which I would sum up as a great rocky one. You know, some people think our record meant that it was a perfect season. By far, it was not. You know, there was bumps and bruises along the way, but very, very good year. Started out coaching. Don't even know the year. 2013, maybe 14. I started out at Wright State University, and after that, my journey took me to Augusta University down in Augusta, Georgia. I was there for about 3 years. Ended up going from there to Flagler College, which is in St. Augustine, Florida, for 1 year with Erica Lane Montgomery, who is now the assistant coach at Florida. And then once she decided to take that position at Florida, I ended up at the University of Illinois Chicago in Chicago, Illinois, as the associate head coach for two years. And then my journey
to the University of Chicago, the D3 school?
No, University of Illinois at Chicago, Division
One. Okay, where is that? I don't even know if I know where that is.
Downtown Chicago.
Downtown. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's right in the South Loop, downtown yep. Chicago. It's about 25 minutes from the University of Chicago.
Okay.
So I was there 2 years, and then this opportunity came up, and I was like, man, I have to take it. But prior to obviously coaching, played basketball my entire life. Started out, I think I was about 12 or 13 years old, played AAU for Ohio, ended up going to Xavier for 4 years, which was, in my opinion, a great 4 years. We won four season championships, four NCAA appearances, an Elite Eight appearance in 2010. We had a really, really, really great team. We were top three in the country my last 2 years. So great experience. You know, as a junior in college, I knew that probably coaching was my niche and that I would get ready to.
So did how you play change when you started thinking like that? That's an intriguing thing to me. Like when, as a junior in college, you go, "Oh, I might want to be." Did how you looked at practice and those things pivot? How did that come about?
No, I still was a player at that point. You know, I wasn't trying to be a coach. Okay. I was still, you know, Special Jennings the player. Still had teammates. Still, you know, all those things. So I think it was, you know, once the season was over as a senior. And I went to the So You Want to Be a Coach program. You know, the light shifted then. I still went to Europe. You know, I still played professional basketball. So it didn't happen right away for me. But, again, the thought was in my mind. So once I was in Europe, I started kind of studying and looking at things from a different perspective. But as a player, I was a player.
Okay. So tell me about your first name. I think you have the greatest first name I've heard in a really long time. How is there a backstory to your first name?
You know what? No, I don't think so. I think my mom said that she just wanted my sisters and I to be different. I have three sisters. My oldest sister is Treasure. My middle sister is Wonderful. And my younger sister is Destiny. So I'm not really sure.
I figured there might be a backstory. Like your mom thought, oh, this one's going to be special. Like, I don't know. It's a great name. I love it.
I don't know. I guess Treasure was her pot of gold. Wonderful was she was feeling great. Special, she felt like queen of the world. I don't know. Yeah. And Destiny, she was destined to be great. I don't know.
Okay. I just wondered. I mean, yeah. I've taught for 30 years. I don't think I've ever taught a special. So that's, you know, you basically get the most names at some point if you teach long enough. But I think it's a great name. It's a great name. So tell me the difference in your world about going from being an assistant to a head. How was that pivot? How was that different? How was that similar and how was that different?
The similarities is that the game is still the same. I think that basketball is basketball, no matter where you go. No one invented the wheel. So you're still seeing a lot of the same things that you would have saw as assistant as a head coach. The greatest difference is obviously you're making the decisions now. And then everything falls on your shoulders. So, you know, as an assistant, you really, something happens, it's just like, okay, well, you know, head coach is going to get the heat for that. But now, right. It's like you're getting the heat. And so that would be the biggest difference. You're making decisions, you know, you're actually getting to utilize your voice more and you're doing things in a way in which you would want to do it. You know, as an assistant, your job is just to make suggestions and just have ideas. You don't make any final anything.
Right.
No matter, you know, who you are as an associate head coach, you know, I still didn't make the final decision. And so, you know, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. I think I tell the young coaches that listen, it's like, as an assistant, you basically should regurgitate as much as you can and you should try to learn as much as you can, but you know, throw ideas. The head coach is going to make the final decision anyway. So it doesn't, like, you can throw out ideas and see if any of them stick. But you can't take it personally when they don't stick because you're not the captain of that ship, you know? I always say that 12 inches is there's a big difference in that 12 inches on the bench, you know, between the head coach and shifting over 12 inches to the left is a big shift for a lot of people. Practice. So what do you consider? So big things at practice. What do you consider big things at practice? And what have you learned? What a great coaching career, to be honest with you, because along the way, I'm sure you learned a lot. What are some things you learned about practice along the route and things that you implement that you think are important?
Well, if you look at one of our practice plans, I think that every day there's going to be the intangibles that are in a game. So what I mean by intangibles, we're going to have a drill that consists of passing. We're going to have a drill that consists of layups. You have a drill that consists of shooting. You're going to have a drill that consists of rebounding, you know, and defense, because those are intangibles. That's going to be in every game, no matter who you play. You're going to have to do those things.
Right, right.
And so I kind of just base our practices off that. You know, where are we at from a defensive standpoint? Where are we at from an offensive standpoint? And kind of just implement those things in practice. You know, this week we may be focusing on being in help, you know, so we're doing a ton of drills of maybe, you know, help to help, or those type of thing, rotation. You know, the very next week we may have to get better offensively. I may have to put in a different set. We may have to scrap something and put something else in that that is better for our young ladies and puts them in better situations offensively. So, you know, it's week to week, week by week, day by day, when building a practice plan, in my opinion. You know, that's just how I go about it.
Did you notice any big differences between jumping from program to program about how they did practice?
Yeah, obviously every head coach is a little different, you know, and some of them, you know, I use the line of, I'm grateful that I was able to work at multiple universities and get to work under multiple different, you know, multiple people, because each one of the head coaches I worked for were very different. And so I was able to see something very different and get and gain, you know, different ideas and different ways that they went about things. You know, one coach was, we pressed. One coach, we kind of played back a little bit. We had different defensive packages. One coach was more offensive minded. And so getting to pull something from each of them and kind of add that to my package and what I wanted to do was great. I think that is kind of hard when coaches are, and it's not a bad thing. Let me say that. It's not a bad thing when coaches work at one institution for a long time. I just think that sometimes it's, you become a little stagnant when you work for one person for a very long time, because that one person does things a certain way. And there's a million ways to skin a cat. And so I think that when you get an opportunity to see those different ways, well, now your approach is different. You can go at it in many different ways, because you got to get a lot of things thrown at you. And so having a multitude of ways of figuring it out is what helped me.
Yeah. And I tell young coaches that too. It's like all that is part of your journey. Yeah. And it's part of your life experience. And, you know, take a little bit of everything. Eventually you got to be you, but you know, you can learn just like you learn from different teachers, you're learning from different coaches. I think that's a great thing. What do you think is the most overtaught skill? And what do you think is the most undertaught skill? I've never asked this question too. I thought about it yesterday on my walk with my dog. So you're the first person to have to answer this one. But most overtaught, most undertaught skill in basketball?
The most overtaught skill, I think right now, this generation, is the Euro step and like unrealistic things. I think that
things you don't do in a game. You're right. I would agree.
Yeah. A lot of things that you're not doing. The most undertaught skill is fundamentals. I think that, you know, when I was coming up and when you're watching like the really, really good pros, you know, like a Steph Curry, a LeBron, a Kevin Durant, or if you look at a Diana Taurasi, Candace Parker, you know, a Jantel Lavender, you know, those people, the fundamentals. You know, I watched, you know, when I'm watching these training sessions, they're not teaching you the triple threat package. You know, I was coming up, everything was triple threat, which teaches you balance, coordination, all those things. Now you can talk, catch it, put the ball on the floor. Everybody is dribble. And again, that's not only from what's being seen on TV, that's what's being taught. And so I think that is just, it's a mistake. We were teaching bad habits. So yeah, those are the two things.
Well, when you start doing the math on it, how much are you actually dribbling? How much are you actually, I mean, there's five people, even if you have the ball 20% of the time. Anyway, it's, yes. All these people that are basically all the people that you're basically attacking is it's a skill that's way over taught in my opinion. Let's see. Let me think. One failure that you had as a coach.
Ooh. One failure, I would say that I made the mistake of, we had a young lady that was an addition.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I only said an addition. I think she changed her uniform or something like that. Okay. And this was as an assistant too. I forgot to put her number in the book. And so we got a technical foul on the game. She came into the game because she was not in the book. So I would think that that was probably one of the biggest, like, slow moments I had as an assistant or as a coach, period. It was kind of embarrassing, but yeah, I think that was the biggest one for me.
If you could talk to one coach, who would you talk to and why?
If I could talk to one coach, who would I talk to and why? I think that if I could sit down and have a one-on-one with one coach, I think I would talk to Dawn Staley. And okay. I said because of her journey. And I played, actually, Dawn was, she was a coach. She coached at Temple when I was at Xavier. And so in passing and things like that, we know each other through passing and things. But if we can sit and have a one-on-one, I would love to pick her brain. She's from the inner city of Philly. So similarity in upbringing. She's played basketball at the highest levels. So as a player, she's won a gold medal as a player. She's won a gold medal as a coach. She's won an NCAA championship. So she's won on every level possible. I would love to just kind of sit down and talk to her about that. Her journey and her thoughts and what's her satisfaction when you pretty much have everything. Where do you go from here? What do you do? You know, what is your day to day? You know, all types of different things. But if I can sit down and talk to one person, it will definitely be Dawn Staley.
That would be an interesting one. If you could pick one offense and one defense to run, what would it be?
Offensively, I would say international ball screen or the Princeton offense. I say Princeton because there are so many different options out of the Princeton, you know, from backdoors to cutting, handoffs, ball screens, so many different things. But then also international ball screen because you get all of that plus the ball screens. A lot of teams are not very good at guarding ball screens. And, you know, they may guard one way and now you're doing something different. So I'm a fan of those two offenses. Defensively, I definitely, in this generation, I love the pack line defense with pressure. And I say pack line because a lot of teams nowadays can't really shoot the three. And so forcing offenses to really, really, really be able to score. But also, you know, we get after it. And I like to get out in that full court and pressure people and see who can really handle the ball and what people do, you know, with their backs against the wall. So either of those.
Okay. I'm going to run through my rapid fire with this. These are really quick questions. Favorite brand of basketball? Favorite ball you use?
Oh, Nike.
Okay. One word to describe your ideal player?
Tough.
One sporting event. You go to one sporting event in the entire world. What would it be and why?
Oh, stop it. The Browns game. Come on, man. Cleveland Browns football. I love the Browns. Dog pound.
Okay. A favorite pregame or postgame meal?
I have to go with, I love cream spinach. Probably baked chicken and, I don't know, maybe my wife's yams.
Okay. I don't think I've had that one before. what does your game day, like last year, look like? Your game day?
So my game day is just I come in to the office. My assistant does a phenomenal job of having a gym already ready, everything we have going on. So I'm in my office. You know, I put together my clipboard on the back of my game board. I have cut out a couple key things. So I have an overtime play, an offense, you know, a three-point shot, a two-point shot, a quick hitter, all things on the back that I would utilize in that game that's just on the spot. I would make sure I have that detail. And I'd sit in my office. I'd listen to music. My wife would come. She'd do my hair and do my makeup. And I'd get to the gym. You know, I get to the gym, the ladies already be on the floor. I put our board together on what we're going to do, you know, starters, offense, defense, those type of things. And then I'll have some type of quote that I want to use in the pregame speech for the young ladies, just to kind of get them thinking and get them ready for the game. And we go from there.
Okay, perfect. Do you have any superstitions?
Not really. I don't think that. I don't know. I'm not a huge superstitious person of the pole and all that. That's never really been my thing.
Okay. One thing you do to relax?
One thing I do to relax. I love watching sports. So like today will be filled of NFL football and some type of brunch. I love brunches.
Ooh, I do too.
Yeah.
I miss a good brunch. One coaching technique you think's important?
Fundamentals.
Okay. Describe your perfect player in five or less words.
Tough, gritty, disciplined, selfless, and energy giver.
Okay. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
Best basketball player I've seen in person. Male or female?
Best basketball player you have seen in person. That's wide open.
It's unfair. I'm going to give two. The okay. best male, okay. obviously, LeBron James. I've watched LeBron James. I've been to a game.
Okay.
Best female I've seen in person. Ooh. I'm going to say probably... That's a tough one. Female, I'm going to go with Breanna Stewart.
Okay. A best basketball player of all time.
Of all time? I love Brian, but I'm going to give the Mamba his respect. I'm going to go with the Mamba.
Okay. If you could teach one basketball skill, what would it be?
Oh, my God. Pull-up jump shot.
I'd say mid-range pull-up jump shot because no one teaches that anymore.
Pull-up jump shot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you can do that, you can score every time.
Oh, my goodness.
And the way the game's being played right now with taking threes away and attack, if you can shoot a pull-up, you're like gold. I know. Shot clock, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you could change one thing about the game, what would you change?
What you just said, we need a shot clock.
Okay.
I think that, yeah.
All right. Charge circle, high school, yes or no?
Say it again.
Charge circle, the charge semicircle, yes or no in high school?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Best game you've seen in person?
Best game I've seen in person. The Final Four 2 years ago, it was Notre Dame and who did they play?
I do
remember. Enrique hit a shot to win that game. Who did they play? Mississippi State. Was it Mississippi State?
Oh, it was Mississippi. I think I remember that was a great. I'm telling you, the women's final. I saw Virginia win 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Yeah. And that was a great one. But I'm telling you, the women's Final Four has been better than the men's.
Yeah, that game 5 years. Incredible.
I know. It's just the games are better. Favorite quote.
Favorite quote. I'm going to say what I said a couple years ago. The work is the work. I think that because no matter how you look at it, how you go around it, it must be done.
Okay. If you could go back to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Ooh, I would tell my 18-year-old self that everyone is not against me. I was 18. It was like the world was after me.
Sometimes that's okay, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I would tell 18-year-old self that it is okay to be open and be vulnerable, and everyone's not against me.
Okay, quarters or halves?
Quarters.
Okay. Best basketball coach of all time?
John Staley.
Okay. Jump ball? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you could recommend one book, what would you recommend?
What Drives Winning.
And who wrote that?
Brett Letletter.
That's a great book. All right. So my last question for everybody when I do these is, if you could give advice to a young coach, what advice would you give to a young coach that's listening to this podcast?
Do it your way. I think that the problem nowadays is that as young coaches, we go in listening to everybody about how it should be done and how it should look and all these things. And then you go into it trying to be something that you're not and trying to be someone that you're not. You have to find your own niche. Find who you are. If you go into it trying to be somebody else, you will be unhappy because you'll never be you. And so, you know, one of the reasons, like I said, I use Dawn Staley as an example. I love Dawn Staley, but at the end of the day, I'm not Dawn Staley, you know?
Right.
Do I think that I'm going to have success? And could I have success for a long time? Absolutely. Is my journey going to look like Dawn Staley's journey? Absolutely not. Could I possibly, you know, get to a national championship and those type of things? In my opinion, yeah. But those journeys look completely different.
Right.
I think that you just have to be authentically yourself.
I always tell coaches, there's only one Coach K, man. Don't try to be Coach K. Like, don't try. I mean, you can do stuff he does and you can emulate some things, but there's only one of him.
But like, I don't want anybody else, though. Be yourself.
Right.
I only want to be Special Jennings. So when I leave and you bring up my name, then that's my legacy right there. It's not Special Jennings who acts like this person or Special Jennings who doesn't like this person. If you talk about me, you're just going to say Special Jennings and leave it at that.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate you being on.
No problem, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like. We love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.